Tales of the Stupid. Mahaha.
Stupid.
Yeah, we have no more special effect money anymore. Yeah. This is pretty much it's me and Kate Troll.
Yeah, we spent it on coffee.
I'm a special effect.
Yes, you are.
Yeah, that is special effect.
Yay. Helmets out back, guys. Okay.
Did I tell that story again?
Yes, you did.
Aww. Yeah. I like making fun of my accent.
Actually, no, I don't think you have told that, but
really?
We'll say, yeah.
Oh, I'm going to do it today. Okay.
All right. In the month that I was gone, well, I didn't have that many stupid things happen. I had some weird things happen. The other night, I'm in my parking lot at where I work, and I see this weird animal walking by. It turned out to be a porcupine. Yeah, yeah. I can show you the pictures when we go home. Yeah, so I had some weird ones, but I'm torn. I have two. Actually, I'll do both of them because they're short. The other guard who works over with me at the area where I work and also works at the drugstore in the same parking lot during the rest of the week when he's not working my shift. Called me up because the girls over at the Tim Hortons, and you can leave that in, ref, I don't mind that the word Tim Hortons is there, called panic, thinking that they were being robbed. Rather than they called the security guard rather than call the police. I don't know why. That may be part of
it. Well, they probably knew you were closer.
Because for justice was there.
Yeah, well, anyhow, no, they called the other guard. They called... no, we don't say this word. That, you're going to have to... Okay, so... All right. So anyhow, the old guard calls me, and he's like, he's like yelling that he's heading over towards Timmy's, thinking that they're being robbed. So I go driving over there with Tits. We were out grabbing a coffee over at Denny's, and we come screaming back. And
it's just a coffee, I swear to God.
So we get there, and these four kids in there, and this one kid is busy putting his shirt back on. By the way, there's an addendum to this story, too. He gets up. He's wearing a luchador mask and matching gloves. Okay. So we're like...
Red flag number one.
Yeah, so the old guard goes to one door. I go to the other, so the kid has no choice but to confront us because they were trying to get away. We come up, and we're like, what the hell do you think you're doing? Oh, I'm not doing anything. You kind of freaked the crap out of the girls. So... okay, can I get you to take the mask off? You can't tell me to take the mask off. Yeah, I can. You don't have any authority? I said, how about I get somebody that has guaranteed authority to make you take it off? And so I called the cops. Kid goes running as I'm describing the thing. So anyhow, that's the end of that part of the story. The weird part is what he did to scare the crap out of the girls. Apparently, he had taken off his pants and his shirt, was wearing nothing but his sneakers, socks, boxer shorts, the luchador mask, and gloves, and was body slamming himself up against the glass of the window.
The dark side of the Kudo guy.
I just really want you to buy my phone.
Yeah, we got the Cave Troll's face popping right now. He's doing an eye rub, nose bridge.
And you thought the werewolves were bad.
Oh, good lord.
Yep, no problem. So that was number one. Number two was we had a guy pass out. Like, he came from the Sharks Club, wandered down the hallway, crawled into the elevator at the hotel, and passed out. He wasn't even staying there. That's it. That's my tales of the stupid. I didn't really have any major confrontations. That's it. This is just my total stupid I've had to deal with this week. All right. Next, who's got it?
I got an easy one.
Okay.
Okay. I've got a new job as a supervisor for a security company, and so I was doing my rounds, checking up on all the guards, and I came to a site and I saw a guy. I came to the site. I walked on the site. Couldn't find the guard anywhere. Was looking around, see this car parked over in the side, and I look in, and there's a guy in a blanket, curled up, asleep. I'm like, okay. And I mean, this is the middle of nowhere, okay? And he's supposed to be watching someplace that had arson done to it. So he's supposed to be security for that. And we're... I can't believe it. Like, and I'm sitting there with my flashlight full on his face, standing there just wondering what to do. So I take a picture of him and I email it to my boss. And then I'm like, oh, I'm going to wake him up. So I go and I knock on the window, which is, you know, fairly common. You know, guards fall asleep. So I knock on the window and this face pops out of the blanket, goes, "Oh my God!" And he proceeds to thrash, actually rolls himself inside the car over to the passenger seat, continues to thrash inside this blanket and scream. Apparently I looked rather scary. I don't know.
And the devil has come for me.
Oh my God. And he's like rolling around. Oh,
the first boss got a double dragon. Run.
All I did was knock on the window.
Are you wearing a luchador mask?
No, I swear. And then he gets out
you
of the
car. You own one. I brought one back from Mexico.
He calms down, and I get him out of the car.
Uh-huh.
Okay, and he's got his uniform shirt all unbuttoned. He doesn't have shoes on. He had a blanket. Okay, the seat was all the way back. And I'm like, so you were sleeping? And he's like, yeah, no, I'm on this medication. And it makes me drowsy.
Go out.
And I'm like, okay, so the medication, let me get this straight. You got drowsy from this medication and it made you twitch. And when you twitched, you kicked your shoes off and curled up in the blanket. And it's like,
put your seat back and unbuttoned your shirt.
Yes, I can see how medication would do that.
That's an interesting side effect. That makes Cymbalta look fucking easy.
And he just looked at me. He just looked at me like, yeah, it was the medication. Okay.
Bald face lie.
He had to put his blanket to the side. He was barefoot. He got out, put his shoes on the ground, and proceeded to put his shoes on while I'm waiting to talk to him.
Oh.
So yeah, no, that was my little bit of security stupidness this week.
Can we get a time check, ref? Okay, so.
Anyone else?
I'm good.
Okay. How much time do I got?
About five? Yeah, yeah, okay. Ten. Okay.
All right. So I used to date a rather special person who seemed relatively normal when I started dating him, but thank God I got rid of him.
They always do.
I know. They're sweet. Mayhem?
What?
Oh, wait. No, I never thought you were normal. Anyways.
Nobody thinks he's sweet.
I do.
Don't forget the whiskey.
Wait a minute. I wonder if I have told the story. Well, anyways, Christmas time rolls around. Him and his buddy can't find any parking at the mall. There's a hockey helmet in the back of the car. And I was reminded of this when Dak said, you know, pull out your helmets. Handicap spots are wide open. There's nothing else as far as the eye can see. I know what I'm going in for. I know I'm going to be quick. Why don't you just wait in the car, put on the helmet, and put on a show? Okay. So one of them puts on the helmet, starts banging his head on the window. And the other guy runs in, gets his stuff, you know, 15 minutes, comes back out, no problem. Okay, we'll move over to the other side of the mall and we'll trade places and then you can go get your stuff.
You know, there's a special place in hell.
Oh, but it gets better. So now this time they're a bit more confident, right? So now it's my ex's friend in the car, and he's got the helmet on, and my ex goes into the store. He comes out about 20 minutes later. There's a crowd around the car. There's about five people just standing there with jaws open, eyes bulged out, unblinking. And he walks up to the car and hears his buddy just wailing his head against the dashboard and just flailing his arms everywhere, tongue hanging out, trying to bite his own elbow. Going absolutely full tilt. And of course, my ex tries to like sneak up to the car, hoping everyone will just keep their eyes focused on his buddy. No, they notice him open the door. Hey, you, hey. How could you just leave him in there? He's fine. He does it all the time. He likes it in there. He doesn't like public. He just, he wants to be in the car. But, and then he's grasping at something to argue about, and he looks at the car. You don't even have a jackal. X turns around. He fucking ate it, okay? What the hell are you doing? Throws his stuff in the car and takes the hell. That's all I got.
That's a tale of the stupid. It almost sounds like a tale of the awesome. let's start a new segment. Tale of the awesome.
For the win.
I've actually got one to add to it.
Okay.
Okay, I don't know. Have I ever told the Cleaver story on this show? Have I told it?
I believe you have.
Which one was that?
The Cleaver story.
Yeah, the story about me being a mascot for Surrey Parks and Recreation for...
No. I've not heard that one.
He's
told the story.
He hasn't told it on the show.
I thought he had. Okay, sorry. Yeah. The Beaver?
See, that's the thing. I can never tell if I've actually told these stories.
Okay, go ahead.
I tell them
ahead.
So often. All right, so this is another tale of... I guess it's really a tale of my stupidity and also that of the people I was working with. I was mistaken. This was like way, way bad. This was when I was still in high school. I was about 13. I was mistaken for a 17-year-old. And the reason is that the mustache...
He had sprouted early.
...grew in at 13.
Epic mustache.
And I haven't grown an inch since 13 either. So I've gained a little more body fat, that's it, and lost a little bit of my hair. But that's the only change between now and when I was 13 years old. So they mistook me for a graduating student, and they offered me a chance to do some community service because I had a quota for community service. I didn't know about this because I was in grade 8 and I didn't. but they told me I needed to have so many community service credits, so I said, okay, I'll take it. What is it? Over the summer, I had to work for Surrey Parks and Recreation as the mascot for the city of Surrey, Cleaver the Beaver. This costume was created by the first furries around the time of the Great War.
Yay, furries!
It has one functioning suspender that holds the ass of it up. So he's almost constantly in a seductive pose unless you're holding your hips correctly.
So it was a secret plot to get the Kaiser unnerved.
keep
so
going.
Anyway, the idea was there was this camp that for children with challenges, and they're all summer so that their parents can have vacations and lives when their children are not in school. And so I was going to play the role of Cleavitt the Beaver. Cleavitt the Beaver. There's a fucking... I was going to play this role through the entire summer. And I understand why the costume was in such poor condition, because one of the favorite hobbies of all the children was to beat the shit out of this poor beaver.
Love.
But I suffered through it, and I'm thinking, this is a lot to go through for a few bloody credits. I'm glad I need them. And on the last week, we had a Who Kidnapped Cleaver the Beaver mystery. Now, I think this was a little highbrow for most of these children, but it was entertaining for us, so we went ahead and did it. And the whole idea was, for the whole week, I was going to be captured and held in one of the washrooms, a part of the school that we're not using. And they went all out. They put duct tape around the costume's mouth, and they had me like hog tied, and my hands tied to the hog tie. And in order so that the children didn't think that the kidnappers were unduly cruel, because it had to be one of the counselors was going to be the kidnapper, they put a box of Rice Krispies next to me, so that they knew that I had a food source. Now, when you're sitting there in a dark washroom with no lights on, and you're sitting sweating your ass off in this costume, you can get pretty bored fairly quickly. So on the last day, I was sitting there, you know, all trussed up and everything, and I hadn't eaten breakfast. So I decide, I'm going to make use of Cleaver the Beaver's food source. So I just kind of, you know, scooch myself over to this box of Rice Krispies. The kidnappers were not thinking very clearly. It was very difficult to get a hold of this food source. They were torturing me. So what I was doing was, there was a hole in the costume's mouth. I guess for breathing, or for the sake of having a hole in the costume's mouth.
You know. It was furries, remember that? Yeah.
The first furries at the time of the Great War. There's a hole in the costume's mouth. And so I was taking some of the Rice Krispies with my Cleaver the Beaver gloves and forcing them into the costume's mouth. And then kind of shaking the head around so that the Rice Krispies would then fall into my actual mouth. All right. This is the part where I suffer a wardrobe malfunction. The glove comes off of my hand as I'm shoving the Rice Krispies in. No big deal. Just, you know, put the glove back on. So I force my hands, which are tied, you know, back up into the glove. I barely get them on, and I tear the head off of the costume. And it goes rolling out the door. Along with the glove. So I am now minus a glove and minus a head. And I hear children clapping. And I'm thinking, oh great, the ransom note has been delivered. The goat is, and they're coming for me. I have to hide what I've done. The only thing I can do, because I'm all tied up, I sort of loosen one hand off, and I put it into the costume, and I duck. I duck my head inside the suit.
So it looks like the
head in the costume.
You've been beheaded by the telepath.
I'm thinking that one of the counselors will open the door first.
And remember, these are special kids.
So I sort of peek up a little bit, so I can sort of get a bit of a view out of my right eye, and I see a little silhouette as the door opens, and it looks like the silhouette looks at me for a little while, and then the door slowly closes. All right.
Then the screaming starts.
I am freed from my bonds. There are many, many jokes about how that could have gone better. And then I get back into the costume because we're going to wrap the day up, and I'm going to go out into the circle, and all the kids are going to beat the shit out of me, and you know,
perfect
end of the perfect day. Well, the kid, I guess it was the kid who saw me, I'm not really sure, climbs up on Cleaver's lap, and he's got another kid with him, and he's pointing through the mesh where the eyes and the costume are. And I'm expecting to go, see, it's not really Cleaver, it's a guy in a suit. They've been lying to us the whole time. But no, he says, someone's controlling him. We haven't caught the kidnapper. Whoever kidnapped Cleaver is still out there, and he's got this guy controlling him. And, you know, then all the children went home not long after.
Tinfoil.
There is someone, he'll be about 17 years old by now, who spent a great deal of his childhood thinking that an enormous anthropomorphic beaver was kidnapped by some kind of criminal organization and replaced with a stunt double, all to get their hands on $1,000 Cleaver dollars and the Partridge Family bus, which was the last that we demanded in this whole thing. And he's carried this with him for the rest of his life because no proper resolution to that has ever come up. He went home at the end of the camp with this prick still posing as Cleaver.
Okay.
Yeah.
His name may
and
be
on a final
Sergeant
note,
Major Zombie.
Hang on a second.
On a final note, now we have some insight as to how conspiracy theories are actually formed.
All right.
It's all because the guy couldn't reach the Rice Krispies. That's how it starts. All
right, guys. I don't think we can top that. Have a good night, all. We'll see you next week. Bye bye.
American media is a business, and it has a mission not to inform Americans, but to entertain them.
You know, there's happy news for happy people with happy problems.
And the business leaders said that they had to renew with